There are two great promises of God in the Bible. There are more than two, but there are two that are great. One is to the whole world, and the other is to the church. To the whole world, the greatest promise of God is John 3:16. Whoever believes shall have everlasting life. To the church, the greatest promise of God is Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Of the many different doctrines found in the Bible, one has divided the church more than anything else. The doctrine is called pneumatology, or the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Many churches today reject this doctrine, insisting that the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit were foundational, meaning they were only for the establishing of the church, and they ceased once the church was established. The problem with this is that Jesus is still building his church. Many people are still coming, and as long as the church is being built, the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit will be needed, and they will be available. Also, there are over 100 references to the subject of spiritual gifts in the Bible. To discard the gifts of the Holy Spirit would mean to discard a whole bunch of scriptures. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, has many gifts to equip God's people and to build the church. This morning, our text deals with this topic, the supernatural gifts of God. So please turn with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, as we continue where we stop. The first mention of supernatural gifts of God was made by Moses in Exodus 31, verse 3. He was quoting God. It was for the building of the tabernacle. God filled a man with certain supernatural gifts: practical wisdom, understanding, practical knowledge, and workmanship. Four supernatural gifts of God. The second mention of supernatural gifts of God was made by Paul when he wrote to the Romans in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 to 13. He added gifts of prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving, leading, showing mercy, and hospitality. Eight more supernatural gifts for a total of 12 supernatural gifts of God. And we have seen and explained each gift in our study of Exodus and the study of Romans. Now, chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians deals with more supernatural gifts of God. There had been abuses in the assembly in Corinth, especially in connection with the gift of speaking in tongues and prophecy. There is nothing new under the sun. So Paul wrote in order to correct the abuses. There were believers in Corinth who had received the gift of speaking in tongues, but instead of using it to magnify God and edify other believers, they were using it to show off. They stood up in the meetings and spoke in languages that no one else understood, hoping to impress others with their spirituality or with their talent. And this is totally contrary to what God's plan is concerning his supernatural gifts. They exalted certain gifts above others, and they claim spiritual superiority. And this led to pride on the one hand and feelings of envy, inferiority, or worthlessness on the other hand. It was therefore necessary for Paul to correct these wrong attitudes and establish controls in the exercise of the gift, especially speaking in tongues and prophecy. Now, this chapter 12 is divided into two simple parts. First part is diversity, verses 1 to 11. The second part is unity, verses 12 to 31. So Paul continues his letter, and he says in verse 1, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." So with the two words, "now concerning," Paul indicates that he is responding to another issue raised in the letter that he had received from the Corinthian church. Then he mentioned his motive for writing back this particular section. He did not want them to be ignorant concerning the proper use of the supernatural gifts of God. Now, the term Gentiles in verse 2 relates to their pre-conversion days of the church members. So they were Gentiles before they were saved. When Paul used the expression "dumb idols," he was suggesting not only that the statues or idols made of wood, stone, or metal were voiceless, they could not speak, but also that the gods or the saints that they represented had nothing to say. They cannot say anything. Before their conversion, the Corinthians had been idolaters, enslaved by evil spirits. They lived in fear of the spirits, and they were led about by these influences. It is only through the Spirit of God that a person can honestly say, "Jesus is Lord," in verse 3. Paul teaches that the believer in whom the Spirit of God dwells joyfully confesses his loyalty to Jesus by acknowledging him as Lord. It is important to note that the believer is always in control of himself when the Holy Spirit is at work in him. Any so-called spirit manifestation that robs a person of self-control is not of God. God is not like this, and he does not do these things. One of the characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Galatians 5:23. Now, Paul goes on and he says in verse 4, "Now there are diversities of gifts," different gifts, "but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all." So Paul started by saying that there are diversity of supernatural gifts, or different kind of supernatural gifts of God. What is a supernatural gift? The Greek word means an enablement, an endowment, insinuating that some form of power is received It is freely given to the person. In this case, it is given by God. It is called the gift because it is free. There is nothing to pay for it, and there is nothing to do to earn it. But still, it is different from a gift that we may receive from someone else. When someone gives us a gift, we can do whatever we want with it. We can use it all the time, or we can put it away. We can use it later until we're tired of it, and then we give it to Mission Solano. A gift of the Spirit is different. It is not something that we carry in our back pocket and pull out and use it whenever we want. It is an activity of God in our life. It is something that God does through us as we trust Him and we let Him use us. It is not something that we do. Sometimes the gift can operate in your life without you realizing it right away. But looking back, you can see that it was indeed the operation of the Holy Spirit in your life. In these three verses, 4, 5, and 6, we see the Holy Trinity. The third person of the Godhead is mentioned first. The same Spirit, verse 4. The second person of the Godhead is mentioned next. The same Lord, in verse 5. And then the number 3, the first person of the Godhead is mentioned, the same God, verse 6. So it is clear here that there are diversities of activities or diversities of operation. The same gift operating differently in one person than the other. A person may possess the same gift of the Spirit that I have, but it is working differently in his life than it is working in my life. And it is dangerous to try to copy how a gift of the Spirit is working in another believer. It may not work the same way in your life. So Paul continues and says in verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. The test that makes a gift genuine is that it profits the whole body. Not only the gifted person or a few friends. The purpose for supernatural gifts is the edification of the church, the building up of the church, the profit of all. If a gift is exercised without love, and not for the profit of all, but simply for personal display to show off or for personal gain, the person is prostituting the gifts of God, the Bible says. There are Christians who do that. They like to display, to show off the supernatural gifts that they have received from God. Starting with verse 8, Paul mentioned 9 supernatural gifts. We know that there are more than 9 gifts mentioned here. There are 25 supernatural gifts of God. Moses mentioned 4 in Exodus 31. Paul mentioned 12 in Romans 12, 6 to 13. A few gifts are duplicate of the same gifts mentioned somewhere else. But still there are 25 supernatural gifts. This morning, in this section, we see 4 supernatural gifts of God. Gift number one is the word of wisdom. What is this gift? This is not the gift of wisdom in general. It is not a vast reservoir that a person can tap from any time he wants. The gift of a word of wisdom is not the gift of wisdom that God gave to Bezaleel in Exodus 31. His gift was general wisdom for a specific task, the building of the tabernacle. Even though word of wisdom is singular, it does not mean one literal word. It could be a sentence or two. How does this word of wisdom operate? A word of wisdom might come directly from God Himself to your mind, or it can come from the Word of God. It could be a verse or verses of scriptures that will help you or help someone else to make a decision, to solve an argument, or answer a difficult question, or encourage and comfort someone else. There is a big difference between the gift of a word of wisdom and the next gift, a word of knowledge. Knowledge is the assimilation of facts, getting them in. Bezaleel was given the gift of knowledge in Exodus 31. Knowledge that he had not learned. It was supernaturally given to him by God the Holy Spirit for the building of the tabernacle. So it was specific knowledge for a specific task he was going to do for God. Wisdom, on the other hand, is the proper application of the knowledge, proper application of the facts, using them wisely. When is this gift needed? Well, when making important decisions. You could ask God, give me the gift of a word of wisdom. Trying to resolve an argument or dispute. Remember Solomon with the two women and one baby? The one had slept on the baby, killed him. There was only one left, and they were both claiming, this one's mine, the dead one's not mine. Well, Solomon resolved the dispute with a word of wisdom. What did he say? Cut the baby in half. That's a word of wisdom. The real mother will scream, no, don't cut this baby in half. So he had that gift of a word of wisdom. When else is it needed? When asked difficult questions or important advices. When trying to encourage others to keep on going and not quit. The right word may do it. And when trying to comfort others. It is a very important gift of the Holy Spirit. So that's the first one. Gift number two is the word of knowledge. What is this gift? It is a divine knowledge that was not transmitted through the natural thought process. A knowledge that a person had no natural way of knowing. It is a divinely given knowledge. When does it come? It comes usually in times of need. As mentioned earlier, sometimes we may not even be aware that it is in operation in our life. So just like the gift of the word of wisdom, this is not a vast reservoir of information available to us as we wish. It comes to us as God sees fit to give to us. It is not the gift of an encyclopedia in your mind. Sometimes it is a warning in advance of a trap. Elisha had this gift. He did not know that the Shunammite son was dead in 2 Kings chapter 4. He was surprised that he did not know that her boy had died. And then we have no control over this gift. He did not, we do not have control over this gift. Later on in 2 Kings chapter 5, he divinely knew that his servant, Gehazi, had gone to Naaman and had gotten some money from him. He had no way of knowing that. God told him. That was a word of knowledge. This gift still works today. In Southern California, a Korean lady had lost contact with her brother in the division of North and South Korea. She had no contact with her brothers for over 40 years. She had no way of knowing where he was. So while praying for her brother, she asked God to help her find him. God gave her a series of numbers. They just came to her mind, and she wrote them down. As she looked at those numbers, they appeared to be a telephone number in Korea. She called that number, and her brother answered the phone in Korea. That's a word of knowledge. And yes, it can be numbers. What is the purpose of this gift? Why would God give this gift to the church? Because this gift, like all other gifts, is for the benefit of the church. Very often, the information given is for the purpose of intercessory prayer, to intercede for others. So who is more likely to receive this gift? A person who prays for others. A person who is concerned for others. A person who intercedes for others. The knowledge may be of a sin in someone's life. God can trust a person enough to reveal that this person is in a specific type of sin. Something that is totally impossible to know. I'm not talking about the gift of suspicion. There's no such gift. God may reveal to someone so that the person may intercede for this individual caught in the grip of the devil, or may make himself or herself available to that person to help. If you are a person who prays for others, God may reveal to you some information that you might be an intercessor for others. But if you have a problem with gossip, do not expect to receive this gift. Three pastors went fishing together, three different denominations in the same city. They went fishing together. And when they were there on the lake in the middle of nowhere, one says, you know, we don't have too many people to confide in. We're pretty much lonely. I think it would be good if we would have sort of an accounting and accountability together. The first one said, okay, I'd go first. I have a terrible problem with money. After the deposit is made, I change the figure and I take some money, and this is the problem that I have. The other guy said, I got a problem too. Mine has nothing to do with money. It's booze. I disguise myself. I go to the liquor store and I buy some booze. And the third one was kind of silent. They said, do you have any problem? He said, yes, I have a terrible problem with gossip. I can hardly wait to get home. So this pastor never received the gift of a word of knowledge. God is not likely to give you knowledge so that you can spread it around. Like all the other gifts, this one is usually given to the right person. Then we have gift number three, faith. What is faith? Hebrews 11 answered the question. It says it is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Never seen that, but you believe. It is a total confidence, a complete assurance, even in things never seen before, in things that cannot be touched, checked, or verified. The gift of faith is the divine ability to remove mountains of difficulty in pursuing the will of God and to do great exploits for God. George Mueller is a classic example of a man with the supernatural gift of faith. Without ever making his needs known to anyone ever but God, he cared for 10,000 orphans over a period of 60 years. He had that great gift of supernatural faith. Faith does not always produce results immediately. We may enjoy fast food, but there is no such thing as fast faith. Sometimes we may have to wait for years to see the result. Abraham waited. Noah waited. If you are a person who can never wait because you have no patience whatsoever, you are not likely to get this supernatural gift of the Spirit. The gift is an incredible amount of faith, an unmovable faith. It comes directly from God. It is given supernaturally. This gift comes upon certain servant of God in times of special crisis or special opportunities. In the Old Testament, it came to three Hebrew servants, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. When they were told that they would end up in a fiery furnace for not bowing to a statue, they knew that God would deliver them. How did they know that? They had never seen nor ever heard of people going through the fire and not being hurt. They had that supernatural gift of faith. This is the first gift in a series of three supernatural gifts that sort of work together. Faith, healings, working of miracles. So their faith kind of worked the miracle. The fire in the furnace did not even burn them. Their clothes did not even smell smoke. That was a miracle. Jesus said, if you have enough faith, you will be able to remove mountains. The mountains symbolize any impossible obstacles to the mission of the church. This gift is not to be used to acquire things for yourself. Name it, claim it. That's not it. Contrary to what certain people teach, the gift of faith cannot be generated or improved by seeing spiritual experience. You see people falling down or swinging chandelier, that is not going to improve or increase your faith. But yes, it is one of the few gifts of God that can be increased, but not by experiences, by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing the Word, the Bible says in Romans 10:17. The major hindrance to this gift is pride. What is the purpose of this gift? Like all the others, it is to build up, to strengthen the body of Christ. God is to get the glory for what he has done. If you are a person who desires to take the glory for yourself, you're not likely to get this supernatural gift of faith. The gift of faith is more than the basic saving faith. It is a special gift through the power of the Holy Spirit that enables a person to have total confidence, complete assurance that God will do a certain thing. Not only confident that God can do it, but convinced that He will do it for sure. And then gift number four, healings. In the Greek text, both words, gifts and healings, are plural. It suggests that there are many gifts of healing for different diseases, and that each one use the healing power as sort of a separate gift. The Holy Spirit does not always operate the same way in everybody's lives, but in different ways. If we look at the way that Jesus healed the people, we see that He did not heal them all the same way all the time. He put mud on one. He touched some. Others He did not touch at all. He only spoke. God does not work the same way. Neither does this gift. The body that God created for Adam and Eve was perfect. There was no need for such a gift then. But then sin came, sickness, diseases came. And because of the sickness and the disease, the gifts of healings and miracles were needed. What is the supernatural gift of healings? It is a gift that allows a person to restore a body or part of a body to a state of health. It is the supernatural power to rectify an unhealthy or undesirable condition of the body. But the restoration or rectification is supernatural. It's not from medication or drugs or medical knowledge, medical training, or some potion from your great-grandparents. Like miracles, it is unexplainable. It is a supernatural divine healing. And there are many different types of healings. You have spiritual healing. You have emotional healing. You have psychological healing. You have physical healing. This gift is mostly involved with the physical healing only. It also includes one type of spiritual healing, and that is demon possession, healing those tormented by unclean spirit. But that's the only extent of this gift, physical and only one spiritual healing. This gift does not include the healing of a soul or a broken heart, the healing of backsliding or a broken relationship. This type of healing is still reserved for God only. There are several examples in the Old Testament and the New Testament of men with the gift of healing. Paul had that supernatural gift of healings. There are people who say that healings have stopped and this gift is not for today. If so, when did God stop? Where in the Bible does it say that He did? Nowhere. God did not change and healings did not stop. The Bible says that the gifts of healings still work, and it asks us in James chapter 5 verse 14 to pray for anyone who is sick that he may be healed, it says. It said to ask the elders to be anointed with oil to be healed. So healing has not stopped. Why don't we see many people today with this gift? For two reasons. Number one, because of the danger, the temptation to make merchandise of it, to use it to make money. And the other reason, because of the general unbelief and skepticism of people today. Remember that Jesus in His hometown did not heal anyone. You may wonder, if healing still works today, why isn't everybody healed? Well, you need to ask God. Paul had this gift. And he was himself a sick person. He had problem with his eyes. And he prayed and he prayed. And he was never healed. And then later, having this gift, he suggested to Timothy to drink a little wine for his stomach problem. He did not heal him either. Some people will be healed and others will not. We will never know why some people are healed and why some are not until we get to heaven. For healings or for miracles, whose faith is needed or required to make it happen? The faith of the one being prayed for or the faith of the one praying for? It could be either one. Sometimes the faith of the one being prayed for, sometimes the faith of the one praying, and sometimes the faith of both of them together. When Lazarus was raised from the dead, whose faith did it? His faith? Don't think so. He was dead. He did not believe anymore. Was it the faith of his two sisters? I don't think so. They were more concerned about the smell. They were afraid it would stink to high heaven after being dead 4 days. In that case, it was the faith of the one praying, Jesus. Other times, it is the faith of the one who is sick. We see in the Bible some people being healed using the handkerchief of Paul. And I think they should never have mentioned this story in the Bible because handkerchief went on TV for sale and people were selling them. So, but anyway, it can happen. The handkerchief of Paul, not mine, not the handkerchief of anybody else, but of his. On some occasion, the sick are healed through the faith of the one who prays. But at times, it is the faith of the one being prayed for. In Acts chapter 14, Paul observed a man intensely. And he saw that the man had the faith to be healed. So he said with a loud voice to that man, "Stand up straight on your feet." And the man leaped and walked. Paul was exercising the supernatural gift of faith and healings. Nevertheless, his command to stand up was given after he discerned that the lame man had the faith to be healed. And we'll stop here and we'll continue next week where we stop with the other gifts of the Spirit. So we see that God, in his love for his church, not wanting to leave it helpless, provided several supernatural gifts in order to strengthen and build it up. Today we only covered the first four gifts in this list of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The first one was the word of wisdom, the ability to speak supernatural divine wisdom. Could be a word of comfort or encouragement to keep someone going, or it could be an insight into doctrinal truth to share with someone. So that's a gift of wisdom. Then we have the word of wisdom. Next, word of knowledge, the intimate personal knowledge of God that does not depend on intellect, but is divinely revealed. Supernatural divine knowledge, not transmitted through the natural thought process. The third one we saw is faith, an unusual measure of trust in God beyond the faith being used by most believers. A complete and unshakable trust in God. Nothing can shake that supernatural gift. And the fourth one that we've seen today is healings, the ability to restore health, the miraculous supernatural power to heal sickness or diseases. With the four in Exodus 31 and the eight from Paul in Romans 12, we now know 16 gifts. As we continue next week, we will see 9 more gifts for a total of 25 supernatural gifts of God. Now, scholars make a distinction between these 25 gifts and divide them into four groups. The first group is the instructional gifts. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, teaching, pastor, missionary, evangelist, exhortation. Seven gifts. Now, a gift of singing in a worship team is a form of teaching or exhortation and is an instructional gift. The second group is the sensational gifts. That is faith, healings, working of miracles. Three of them. The fourth group is the communicational gifts. Prophecy, discerning of spirit, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues. Four of them. And then the fourth group is the practical gifts. Giving, mercy, hospitality, understanding, ministry, administration, helps, leading, practical wisdom, practical knowledge, and workmanship. 11 of them. Included in the workmanship would be the gift of drawing, painting, not a barn canvas, sewing, carving wood, composing, playing musical instrument. That is part of the workmanship. So these gifts are not foundational. They are not temporary, only for the first century, as some people say. They did not cease after the church was established. The church is still being built up, and the gifts are still needed. So these gifts are given by God for the benefit of the whole church, not for the private enjoyment of some individual Christians. God wants to give us those gifts because He cares for us. He cares for His church. Do not be afraid of supernatural gifts. Take advantage of what God has made available to His church. Do not reject them like so many people do. Ask God to give you supernatural gifts. Be open to all the supernatural gifts of God. If there were an announcement in the newspaper today that Macy's and JCPenney are giving free gifts today to every customer, there would be a riot at the mall. People would be camped there for 2 days waiting to be in to get the gift. And most likely it would be a little junk. God says, I have spiritual gift for you. There's not even a line. Few people are interested in it. I don't understand. We just sang, He is the lover of my soul. He loves me. He wants the best for me. He wants me to accomplish great things for Him. He has great supernatural gifts for me. They are free. And I would not ask. I would not even wait in line. I don't understand. People are into this world. They are into things. They want physical thing. Give me the gifts, any gift, every gift. When it comes to God, He's got the best, the greatest gift. People are not interested in it. How sad is this? And He will not force His gift on anyone. You want, you ask, but few people ask, few people want. They don't want more faith. They don't want the supernatural faith. They're happy, they believe, and they're going to go to heaven. But the things that they could do, how they could be mightily used by God if they had those gifts, and they're not interested. I pray that you have an interest in the gifts of God. They are supernatural. They are for you, for you to use, for you to be used by God mightily with those gifts. So may the Lord be with you. May the Lord bless each and every one of you who came today. May He bless your home, your life, your family. And may he touch your heart today that you would have a desire for the supernatural gifts that he has for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.